Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, June 7th, 2016. We'll continue with a special week of broadcasts, going back to the archives from December 5th through the 9th of 2011. As my now Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, was just recently involved with the radio ministry, had been on board about 2 months, and I had him in the studio for a week as we talk about prayer and the Lord's Prayer. And so we'll jump right into that broadcast from December 6th of 2011. I just finished talking about being able to log on to our website and hear streaming audio, and the fact that we also archived our program. So here's that conversation as broadcasted about 4.5 years ago. You might be listening to this program, as each of our morning programs are archived at greatnewsradio.org. And those of you that tune in to the evening, I guess the evening edition, we have our morning program at 7:32 a.m. Central Time, and then we re-air it in the evening. That was something that was requested, I don't know, many years back, and we had a time slot available, so the morning program re-airs in the evening. And so hopefully you've had the opportunity to tune in, to maybe gather your thoughts, to gather the Bible. As yesterday we mentioned that we'll be dividing God's Word over this whole week. We'll be talking about the Lord's Prayer. Specifically, we're in Matthew chapter 5. Many of you know Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 as the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most powerful messages known to mankind that Jesus delivered to the masses, to the crowds, and it was on a mountainside, and it's words that he spoke that have been penned for us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, words that we can read and think about. Words that draw us to God, words that teach us about prayer. And yesterday we just began with a little overview of some of the things we hope to talk about this week. And so Jason's going to be with me all week long. Jason's the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, Illinois. I've known Jason just for about 6 weeks. Their church has supported this radio ministry for many years, and they have a practice each month where they highlight one of their missionary couples or some of the organizations or the ministries that they support. And so they had me come and share. And as I got to the church and somebody said, hey, do you know, by the way, that Jason used to work for Jewel Food Stores? And I go, really? He works with the grocery chain? Yeah, in fact, he was a manager. And I said, really? I said, man, we'll certainly connect. And after talking with him a few minutes and then sharing during that church service, I thought he'd be a great one for Testimony Tuesday. So a little over a month ago, we had Jason on for Testimony Tuesday, and he shared some of his faith story and his journey and how God raised him up. I guess it's been about 6 months now where he's serving as the senior pastor at the Community Evangelical Free Church. Well, when he did that Testimony Tuesday program, when we got done, I just said, Jason, I got to pray this through and think this through, but might you be able to carve out a little time and come in each and every Wednesday and divide God's Word and share some of your life story? And I feel you're a great Bible teacher. You hunger for God's Word. You love walking closely with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love your family. And I said, I think you would be a great teacher for our radio listeners to not only tune in for and benefit through what you're learning, but you and I get along so well, and would you maybe co-host or consider or entertain the idea of co-hosting in a heartbeat? You said, that seems like a good idea to me, but let me go home and pray about it. Let me talk with Tasha, my wife, and just see if I can work that into the schedule. And it wasn't too long where we both were just certain that this was what God was going to do for a while. And so I began with saying, hey, let's just go through the book of Ephesians. That just seems like it's a great portion of scripture to share with our listeners. And there's been so many other things to share along the way that we've been kind of inching our way through. I think we're up to verse 4. And then in light of there being the Advent season upon us and Thanksgiving recently celebrating that and talking about different things, we just felt like let's spend a little time, let's spend all week long on the Lord's Prayer. So that's where we're going to begin again today in Matthew chapter 5.
Yeah, there's a quote from a Jewish theologian, rabbi. His name is Abraham Joshua Heschel, probably one of my favorite authors. And he says this, prayer transports us from the mundane to the transcendent. Prayer does not have to be just words. It can be silence. It can be in our minds. It can be in our hearts or in the words on our lips. And furthermore, he says this, prayer is the highest form of spiritual intimacy between man and God because it is in these moments that the God of the universe, the God of all creation, stops speaking to hear us. And so I think it's great to remember that. That quote just always jumps out at me. And if you even look at God's word, I mean, you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and it says here, beginning in chapter 6 and verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." You know, this is Matthew chapter 22, 37 through 40. "These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lay down and when you get up." And yesterday we talked about the 613 commands of the Torah, these commands that the Jewish people would follow. And there was 248 personal commands. And then there would be these 365 communal commands. And that's kind of what Deuteronomy 6:4 is talking about here. It's saying, hey, when you're at home and you're with your children, you know, impress it upon your children when you're walking along the road, when you're in community with people, be sharing also. So prayer doesn't become just this one thing that it's just you. I mean, like Heschel says, prayer is not just in our minds and in our hearts and in the words on our lips. It's in our silence. It's in our laughing. I mean, your prayer may be a moment when you're sharing just a great belly laugh with a friend. And you're just thanking God in that moment with your whole heart and laughter for what he's done in your life. So I never want a prayer to become just one thing. Prayer, you can thank God in multitude of different ways.
And I think maybe, again, we're influenced how we've seen others pray, or maybe some of the, you see the people on their knees with their hands folded at their bedside, but prayer can take or manifest itself in, like you said, many ways. It can be in many postures. It can be holding your hands up to the Lord. It can be prostrate with your whole body on the ground. It could be just as you're in bed, you know, with covers over you, just thanking the Lord for
the heated mattress pad.
as I have done on occasion, the fact we have a roof over our head. There's so many things to praise the Lord for, to address him. It could be approaching him as Jesus will model for us in various ways. It could be just saying Abba, just calling him Daddy, just crying out to him. It can be pouring ourselves out to him. It can be through verbalizing. It can be in our minds. It can be just as our eyes look at his handiwork and just worship him in a kind of a joyful song of prayer. I mean, there's just so many different ways, but it's first and foremost is recognizing he's sovereign, he's good, he's holy, he's righteous, but he is approachable. He's full of grace and mercy, and it's like we have the opportunity to talk with him. And then, as you just said, that he listens, that God, sovereign God, can hear my very words, that he would respond, that he desires me to come to know him. I mean, isn't it incredible?
It's amazing. And yet, how about this? When I talk to people in church, it is the one thing that they struggle with the most. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hear people over and over again say, well, I'm just not good at praying. I mean, praying's really hard for me. And I'm going, it is one of the greatest gifts that you've been given that you can respond to God through. And yet it's the place where the enemy has come and tried to speak condemnation to you and say, well, you're no good at prayer. Just remain silent. And so I think in terms of what you're saying, it's true. Because it is a point where we can just cry out to God, we can talk to God, and God stops and he goes, I want to listen to you. Mm-hmm. And that's so powerful. Now, as we go into Matthew chapter 6 here, something interesting is really happening here. Beginning in chapter 6 and verse 1, and I want to set up what Jesus says later on in verse 5 concerning prayer. But in chapter 6 and verse 1, he says this. He says, be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men and to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. Now, this be careful that leaps off in chapter 6 and verse 1, be careful is a Greek word called proschete. Proschete. And proschete means, essentially it means pay attention. It doesn't necessarily mean be careful, though it can, but it would have been a loud kind of like pay attention. Now, if you turn back in your Bible to chapter 5, I'm just going to kind of, what I want to do is pull the camera lens back and look at a really big picture here. Jesus comes and he goes up on the mountainside, he sits with his disciples, he gives them the Beatitudes, and then he says this. He tells them who they are. And in chapter 5 and verse 13, he says, you're the salt of the earth. He starts out by saying, you guys are great. You're the salt of the earth. You're a light on the hill. You guys, you don't even understand the potential of who you have been made to be and what you've been made to do. And then he goes on, right after that, to say, do not think that I've come to abolish the law and the prophets. So right away he sets it up by saying, do you know who you are in light of what God's called you to do? And then he says, by the way, don't think that I've come to throw anything out, because I haven't. I've come instead to fulfill it. He transitions then to verse 21 where he says, you have heard. Then he goes down to verse 27, you have heard. Verse 31, it has been said. Verse 33, you have heard. Verse 38, you have heard. Verse 43, you have heard. So Jesus is saying, look it, you don't understand who you are and what God has made you to be. You've bought into another system and you don't understand the potential that God has given you. And by the way, I'm not throwing anything out that God has brought and taught and illuminated. Instead, I'm here to fulfill it. By the way, you've heard this, you've heard this, you've heard this, you've heard this, and you've heard this. And then in chapter 6, pay attention. Because now I'm going to tell you the real deal.
You know, you also brought up how Satan tries to frustrate, derail, thwart our connection with God. And I've always wondered about that when, like you mentioned your example where people says, well, I just don't pray very well, or I'm not comfortable praying out loud, or for whatever reason. And is it because Satan has blinded our eyes of God's love for us? Or, I mean, why, you would think God created us, he designed us, he loves us. You would think we'd want to talk with him all day long. Now, I'll also share, that's not the case for me. I mean, as much as I love connecting with God, I love when I think about him, I love when I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm close to him, but it's like, why does a whole afternoon go by where I feel like sometimes when I contemplate my day at night maybe, or I'm lying in bed the next morning, I'm thinking, shoot, Lord, it was kind of a shallow day. I don't really remember inviting you into circumstance. I don't remember talking to you that much. Now, I'm very deliberate and intentional in drawing close to God. I mean, that's just part of my life. And yet, there'll be times where I'm thinking, shoot, I don't even know if I talk with him. Why is that?
Yeah, this is funny. I got a little notebook, little tiny miniature notebook, and I carried it with me for a week. I did an experiment because I had kind of the same thought. And I'm going, how have I not invited God, or what has derailed me from my invitation of God? So I started to begin to write down where I thought the enemy might be kind of trying to get in. You know what I found? That when I would sit down to pray, the door would slam. When I would sit down to pray, the phone would ring. As is my custom when I stop the car before I go in a store, I usually pray, God, who in here do you want me to talk to? God, is there anybody in here who I'll have a conversation that you want to have happen? I'll stop the car and begin to pray that prayer, and somebody will honk the horn behind me. I started to find that all the times, and this is not every time, but a lot of the times when I was trying to invite God in, something would happen to try and steal my attention from it. And I think it's because the enemy fears the truth. He fears the truth of the Word of God. That's the reason he tries to malign. That's the reason why, I'll be honest, that's the reason why I think you go to some churches and there are no Bibles. There's a big screen and they show one verse and that's all they show. Because Satan wants us to get us to forget that we have the truth here in the form of the Word of God. And then on top of that, through the Holy Spirit, God can speak truth to us. But once again, God is a gentleman. So if we choose to turn our head from that, we choose to turn our orientate ourselves a different direction, God's not going to come and go like, you have to hear me now. You know, so I think that Satan wants to rob us of that. And how about this? What would be more scary to the opposing enemy than when the general speaks directly to the troops? I mean, I think about historically when I've read about like World War II. One article I read said that Hitler feared greatly, and so did Rommel. Oh, Rommel was the tank commander for the German army, a very brilliant tank commander. Rommel feared greatly when Patton would address the soldiers directly, because he knew that those soldiers would be more willing to fight, more apt to win after Patton had spoke, the general had spoken directly to them. And I think the same thing comes from that. Satan fears that God will speak directly to us, and he'll speak truth about who we are and what we were created to do.
And so if he can derail that time, and even the suggestion you made, before you get out of that car, before you get out of bed, before you engage that phone call, pray and ask the Lord, Lord, allow the words on my lips, allow the expressions, the things that I say, the things that I share to be used of you or for kingdom purposes. There will be opposition. So one of the life lessons that will obviously maybe put in place today is that awareness that our desire, Jason and I, would be that you would be praying more, that you would be connecting with God, and that you would ask him to work in and through your situation. But don't be surprised that things will happen, or there will be more turmoil or confusion, or things will frustrate your intentions to pray more or to be more deliberate in how God would use you. But just recognize those things will happen and then just pray through them.
Yeah, just think about this. How about this? Think about this movement in Scripture in terms of yourself. Jesus comes to you and he says, you know, and it says Jesus, when he saw the crowds, he went up to a mountainside. And mountainside generally in the Bible denotes a physical geographic mountain, but it's also a higher place, which is always closer to God. So Jesus goes up there. There's more of a closer intersection between him and God, and his disciples come around him. You, by the way, if you're following Jesus, become a disciple. The minute you follow Jesus, you become a disciple. Jesus engages the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter, I believe it's chapter 6. And if you notice immediately, what does the demon-possessed man do? He falls to his knees. He assumes the position of a disciple in front of Jesus. So you become a disciple. And then Jesus begins to tell you, blessed are you. Blessed are you. Are you opening your ears and hearing that Jesus is telling you? You, and I'm speaking to you as the radio listening audience, blessed are you. Blessed are you. And then Jesus begins to say to you in your heart, you're the salt of the earth. Do you realize you're a light on a hill? Do you realize what potential God has given you? Do you realize how wonderful and beautiful you are in his eyes? And then Jesus says, by the way, I didn't come to destroy your life. I came to fulfill it. And then Jesus begins to speak to you about all the things that you may have heard, all the things that you're not, all the things that you haven't accomplished, all the things you haven't done. And then Jesus says, as he does in chapter 6, he goes, by the way, pay attention now. Because I'm going to tell you who you really are, and I'm going to tell you how things really are. So even look at this movement in the Scripture as almost a personal relationship with Jesus and how he wants to live, move, and talk to you and to your heart.
You know, I love what you said, and oftentimes we may forget that. We're disciples of the Lord Jesus. I mean, first and foremost, followers mean we're disciples. God is working to refine us, to develop us, to enhance our relationship with him, so that then we can be ambassadors of him. Yeah. So he kind of takes us, hey, you're now a disciple, which means you're also a representative of me. You're an ambassador, that high calling. But that's why it's so important that first and foremost, we're close to him, that we're praying to him, so that not only he can disciple us, refine us, develop us, sanctify us, but it's because then we're therefore to go out and be his ambassadors, inviting others to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're representing him in our attitudes, in our speech, in our mannerisms, and the things we do and say. And so kind of that twofold calling, be a disciple and yet recognize you're an ambassador.
Yeah, a friend of mine said to me yesterday, and I think I had mentioned this a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, I had coffee with a friend and he had challenged me on a few things. And one of the things he said is, he said, when you believe in Jesus, you become a disciple. When you believe in Jesus and you begin to be in relationship with another disciple, that's discipleship. And when you believe in Jesus and you get in relationship with somebody else and that person gets in relationship with somebody else, that's disciple making. So there's kind of these three levels. I'm a disciple, and now I'm involved in discipleship because I'm involved in relationships with other disciples. But now my disciples are making disciples. So now that's disciple making. They're going out and they're fulfilling that. Matthew 28, go and do that.
What do you see then maybe as the distinction between being a disciple and being an ambassador? Or will that be a whole nother week series?
Well, I think here's what I think. I love that you said ambassador. But you said twofold, and I think you have to say that. Because if you say just an ambassador, people get the idea that they have a job. People who generally have a job are most likely not teachable. And disciple denotes that I'm always teachable. I'm always a student. You know, Jesus said, you know, no student is above his teacher, but every student is striving to be like his teacher. So you're always like your teacher, but you're never better than him because of his experiences and the things you can learn from him. So I think the disciple just denotes that we're always, for me, disciple denotes that I'm always on my knees in front of Jesus, assuming a position saying, teach me, because I don't know everything. And I think that that's, you know, so I think that's important.
Yeah, and I like the ambassador concept, not so much that, like, you think of these ambassadors and all the their outfits or their these, you know, the pomp and circumstance and everything that follows them, but more they're representatives.
Yes.
They're going on behalf of the King, of Almighty right. God. And so I've always loved to entertain the idea that I'm God's ambassador to a hurting world. Not that I'm any better. I'm in the trenches with them. I'm not in any higher position because I am that disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm being refined and developed and sanctified and taught by his word daily. But how I get to cherish that role of being a representative of the king, not of myself,
right,
but of him. I'm serving at his pleasure, if you will. And so it's kind of a cherished position that we represent Almighty God to a hurting world. What mm-hmm. a privilege. And yet, I do agree, too, we need to be discipled daily in his word. And one of the ways we get discipled and refined and corrected and trained is through praying.
Right.
Which brings us back to our week-long theme, the Lord's Prayer. We're studying in Matthew chapter 6, but we're covering Matthew chapter 5, a little background on this Lord's Prayer that he taught his disciples, but is something that we all need to be mindful of and how personal it is, the way we can approach Father God. So all week long, we're going to be talking about that. So we'd invite you to grab your Bibles and make sure, whether it's at 7:32 a.m. or at 7:32 p.m., our re-airing of Mark and Friends in the Morning, that you'll have your Bible, and we'll talk some more tomorrow about Matthew chapter 6 and the importance of prayer. Well, I hope that something that Jason or I have shared will draw you closer to God, will cause you to contemplate how God is very approachable. He desires to hear your words. He certainly is worthy of our worship, of our prayers, of our time. And so write us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear how you're connecting with God. Our address is Great News Radio, P.O. Box 550, Fisher, Illinois, 61843. We love your phone calls, too. You can reach us at 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777. For our Indiana listeners, our great Indiana listeners, don't hesitate to call us. We have a toll-free number for you. It's 1-888-333-9466. That's 1-888-333-9466. So all week long, we're going to be talking about prayer and how God desires us to come to know him. So we invite you to participate. It's interactive. We're learning, too. And so your feedback would be cherished, appreciated. Write us a comment or two and mail that into the station. Also, you'll probably notice from our music mix, we're interspersing more and more Christmas music. You may be saying, Christmas music, what's going on? Well, all week long, we're returning to some of our archived programs from December of 2011. I had my Now Wednesday and Friday co-host, Pastor Jason Schiffo, come into the studio all week long, and we talked about the Lord's Prayer and praying in general. And so there won't be Christmas music for about another 4.5 months, but we do look forward to that happening the day after Thanksgiving. But we'll continue with the series all week long, talking about the Lord's Prayer, as broadcasted in December of 2011. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.